The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, you'll get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. Hey, what's up, and welcome to the Hashtag Lakers podcast presented by the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Yola Gazzo, and today I'm joined by a special guest. We have Eric Pincus on the line today from Bleacher Report. You know him as one of the best salary cap guys out there, experts out there. So, hey, Eric, appreciate you hopping on the show and welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. Happy to do it.
Perfect. Well, it's been kind of a crazy week, right? I know you've been busy. I've seen you tweeting around. I've seen you in a couple of shows. You even wrote an article on Bleacher Report, specifically on the Lakers cap situation. So I kind of want to get to that article, you know, bounce off of that and get into some of the questions that I have about how the Lakers can sort of construct their roster going forward after this Westbrook trade. But, you know, why don't we sort of start from the base, right? And okay. Make our way to how the Lakers can do this, right? You know, what does the Lakers salary cap situation look like now with the new with Russell Westbrook now on the team with the trade, and sort of what tools, what kind of, you know, cap exceptions do we have that the Lakers can use to sort of help us fill out their roster? Tell us our situation.
Well, if you're paying, so we're assuming the trade is going down exactly as reported,
sure. Right,
which is Kuz, Trez, and KCP to the Wizards and the number 22. And that isn't official and it could adjust, but we're off on the working assumption that that's the entirety of the trade.
Right.
The Lakers will be paying LeBron about $41 million, Anthony Davis about 36. And Russell Westbrook is a lot. He's around 44. So he's actually going to be the highest paid Laker.
Wow.
And when you put those numbers together, that's over $120 million. And the cap is projected to be $112 million. So just those three players, you're over the cap by $8 million. And when you start to talk about, okay, well, the requirement is that you have 14 players. So they have, if we just say those are the three, they need 11 more players. And if you add up all those players, just at the minimum, you're going to be over the tax and you're pretty much going to be over the hard cap line. So the luxury tax projects to be 137 million. And the apron is what they call it. The hard cap is roughly 143 million. So I anticipate that the Lakers will be over that line. And so if they were to say acquire another player via sign and trade, that would trigger a hard cap.
Right.
But they would be over 143, which is illegal. So they wouldn't be legally able to sign and trade to acquire a player. They can sign and trade out, which if you follow my Twitter,
right,
you know, I tweet that every day.
Uh-huh.
People ask me still every day, you know, why I literally have NBA people who don't know those rules. It's not just like some casual fan who didn't pay attention and asked a dumb question. Like, I'm correcting people who are other reporters and other people in the industry who are like, guys, people just don't know the rules. And it's frustrating a little bit, but I try to get above that and not let it bother me. So that aside, the Lakers sign and trade someone in, not realistic, because you're not going to dump any of those three core players. And that's the heart of that salary. And then if the Lakers wanted to use their full mid-level exception, which they call the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is about 9.5 roughly, we'll know it maybe today or tomorrow, the exact figure. But that's not possible either, because that's another trigger for a hard cap. So they're
right,
limited to the taxpayer mid-level exception, which is about 5.9 million. And then the biannual exception they spent last year on Wesley Matthews, and you can only use that every other year. If they had it, they would not be able to use it, because they would be, again, that's the third trigger of a hard cap. So non-taxpayer mid-level, biannual exception, acquiring a player via sign and trade. Those are the three triggers, and all three are unavailable to the Lakers. And then the biannual exception is doubly not available because they used it last year. So what that means is you have 5.9 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, all you have minimum contracts. Now, the Lakers will have the rights to Dennis Schroeder, the rights to Wes Matthews, the rights to Markieff, Jared Dudley, Talen Horton-Tucker, Andre Drummond, Ben McLemore, Devontae Kaycock, and Kostas Antetokounmpo. Technically, they still have Deion Waiters' rights. But
they do. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do. Now, most of those players only have what are called non-bird rights, which means that they've been with the team for 1 year.
Right.
And the most that the Lakers can pay those players is 120% of what they made last year. And that's a little different with Andre Drummond because he joined so late. He didn't get a full salary, but you base it on a certain number. And regardless, it's not market value. Like, I don't think Andre Drummond is going to get $20 million a year, but he's certainly going to get more than like a couple million.
Right.
And so I don't
not
think
the minimum.
The minimum works for Andre Drummond. Whereas the minimum might work for, it would certainly work for Jared Dudley. I think he'd
sure
be happy to return and eagerly is hoping to return. You could probably do the minimum for McLemore. Markieff, they actually can pay because they have his early bird. Actually, Jared Dudley, they have early bird. Early bird you get after 2 years.
Right, right.
And that you can pay either 175% raise,
mm-hmm,
or you could pay up to a number that the league gives out every year. That's roughly the average salary, which will be, call it $10.3 million. So the Lakers can technically pay Markieff and Dudley both up to $10.3 million each. I think Dudley isn't anywhere close to more than the minimum. I think that Markieff probably, at least from the Lakers' point of view, is a minimum, but they can technically pay him more. So just
they probably won't, right? Because they're going to be so much over the tax apron already.
Right. Well, so that's a different question. And so if we look at the means, let's go through the means and then we
okay
can look at the damage.
Sure, let's do that. Let's
the
do
damage
that
gets up quickly. So yeah, paying Markieff Morris $10 million is insanity when we get to that. But the other players that they have rights to that matter, by the way, Kostas is apparently playing overseas.
Right.
He's out of the picture.
He's gone.
I don't know what's up with Kaycock. They can actually pay him up to $10.3 million as well because they
really
have bird rights. Yeah.
He can't do a two-way anymore, right? He's done his stint, right?
He's done 2 years. I think you can do three with one team.
Okay.
So technically, I think you could do one more.
Okay.
You can't sign a 3 year two way, but you can do, I think it's up to three with, I would want to double check that, pretty confident. And then the players with rights, well, Wesley Matthews is a non-bird as well,
right,
but he made more. So he could get up to $4.3 million to stay. I would think the Lakers, given their lack of depth, would want to keep him.
Sure, right.
I don't know what the market will be, but he would be about 2.7 if he's the minimum.
Oh, okay.
Or he, so his range is 2.7 to 4.3. So, but then the bigger names are obviously Dennis, Caruso, and THT. THT is restricted. They can pay him up to 10.3, same as Markieff. It's the early bird thing.
Right.
And then Alex, they have full bird, so they can pay him up to almost 29 million. So
right, it's a max. They can do a max deal for him.
Exactly. That's not going to happen. Dennis, no. They could pay up to the max as well. So that's kind of the playing field, right? Like they can keep any of those players within those limits of either 120% raise or 10.3 million or the max, right? But now we get to what you kind of asked midway was like, what's practical? And that's where it gets really tricky. If the Lakers are paying 150 million for last year and 150 million for the year before, roughly, they win a title and in their mind would have won another title had they been healthy. Should they feel like we should now pay 250 million for the same thing? And the answer is probably no, that's too much. Right. But there's a point where obviously they're willing to pay and they wouldn't have gotten Russell Westbrook if they weren't willing to pay tax and to go into it. The question is how much. And so I think a reasonable number for Alex Caruso for the Lakers is probably 5 or 6 million. And if he gets more, I think they're going to let him go. And I know a lot of Laker fans don't like to hear that.
Yeah.
And I personally would rather the Lakers keep Caruso.
Sure.
Just based on his story and what he does for the team. And if you focus only on scoring, then you're missing a big part of the game.
Right.
And specifically how the Lakers play the game. Exactly. LeBron loves him. Vogel loves him.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that would be a priority. But from what I understand, it's not the top priority.
Interesting.
And mostly money related. In the case of Talen Horton Tucker, I'm told that he's a priority. I don't know if he's going to get an offer sheet. There's a video attached to my Twitter feed that pinned to the top that explains the complicated Arenas rule situation with Talen Horton Tucker. Sure. We don't have to get into it other than to say there's a limit to what other teams can offer. And that limit is about 9.5. No one can, it doesn't matter if you have 50 million in cap room, the most you can pay in the first year is 9.5. And it gets more complicated past that first year. In the third year, it could jump to a max. But I don't think THT is going to get that offer. And I think the Lakers are going to be able to keep him. And I think they would probably like to do it anywhere close to 5 or 6, but that could get up to 8 or 9 or even 10. But we'll find out. And that's sort of a little bit of a mystery, but I think that's something that's going to happen, or at least something the Lakers are looking to make happen. And since he's restricted, they have the control over that. And then Drummond, I don't see how they can pay him, because the most they could do is use the 5.9, and that may be the right thing. And maybe that's because they do need two starters. So maybe Drummond is your starter.
Sure.
There are some issues with spacing, but he would certainly help for rebounding and protecting Anthony Davis. As far as I know, a lot of Laker fans are sour on Drummond, but having someone to protect Anthony Davis's body is probably the most important thing.
Right. 82 games. Right. We don't want Anthony Davis playing at the center at 82 games.
Right. And so is that Drummond, or do you get someone like Dwight back? Do you get JaVale back?
Right.
Do you go for other minimum guys? There are plenty of serviceable centers. There aren't a lot of good ones. Like there's no Jokic, there's no Embiid. And if there were, the Lakers wouldn't be able to get them.
No.
So, but there are like the Enes Kanters of the world.
Right. Oh,
Willie Cauley-Stein, maybe. I think Dallas will, well, by the time someone listens to this, that decision might have been made. All the decisions on options are happening while we're recording. So
right.
It could be coming out right now. There are a lot of centers, not a lot of really good ones, but there are a lot of them. There are very few wings and a lot of ball handling guards. So to kind of finish up that point about the money, like paying Dennis Schroeder $20 million, $15 million to be a backup to Russell Westbrook could cost like $30, $40 million in tax on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or even more, to be honest. And so are you going to be paying, if you're paying him 20, but that's costing you 30 in tax or more, now you're paying him $50 million a year, or at least for this year. That's insanity. So I also don't think there was that kind of synergy between Schroeder and Anthony Davis and LeBron James, where LeBron's going to say, we need this kid back. Instead, LeBron said, we need Russell Westbrook. So that kind of tells you where LeBron is. I would like to see that LeBron goes, we need this kid back, meaning Caruso, but that's
neither. That would be nice.
But he's definitely going to do it for Talen Horton-Tucker. He's on Clutch.
That's true.
Clutch, of course, is LeBron's agency. Well, sorry, Rich Paul's agency that represents LeBron, but is in a lot of ways LeBron's agency. So there's Dennis, there's Talen Horton-Tucker, there's Caruso, and Drummond. Those are really the big decisions. I think I got them all. And then, well, I mean, Matthews, I think, is a smaller decision, and I think it's viable and reasonable that he returns. And the rest, I mean, I would like to see Markieff return. I think he's good role player on this team.
Me too, yeah.
But I don't think you want to give him a huge, in my opinion, you don't want to give him a major role. I think in a small bench role where he comes in and does what he does, he could probably do more than what he did last year. Mm-hmm. When AD was hurt, Markieff was actually real solid. So you wouldn't want to give him a major, like, okay, you're going to play 30 minutes a night and we're going to count on you. And if he doesn't score 18 or 16 or 15 a game, then you're not getting what you need. You wouldn't want that kind of role, but I do think he can help. So did I hit on all those bases?
That was good. That was good. I appreciate that. I think that sort of sets the playing field that the Lakers are on right now. And I do have a question. You hit on Schroeder a lot, and I know there's been a lot of questions. There's been a lot of questions about sign and trade Schroeder. So we know the situation going on with him right now. He declined his $84 million contract extension earlier this year. Really throughout the season helped the team stay in playoff contention, but didn't do so well in the playoffs. If we're being honest, right. And now we're kind of in a situation where we're wondering what will happen with Dennis Schroeder going forward. Right. There's been even talks about a three-team trade with the Kings and the Wizards with that Westbrook trade.
More than three.
Right. And then I was about to mention that we got a report earlier today from Zach Lowe that it's, you know, it looks like the Kings and the Wizards don't want Schroeder.
Oh, well, I mean, I reported on that way before.
Zach, oh, did you? Zach, was that you?
I don't know when Zach did, but I've been writing on that and saying all that in my article on breaking down the trade. I touched on that a bit. The Wizards liked Dinwiddie. So
they did. You know, right.
That I know. The question of Dennis Schroeder I get constantly. That's probably if you go through Twitter,
right,
probably 90% at this point are like, are the Lakers going to sign and trade Dennis Schroeder or can they? And that's where my daily reminder on the hard cap rules came about, because people were like, no, they can't sign and trade Schroeder because the Lakers would have a hard cap. And the answer is no, like,
no,
Lakers would not. Right. Another team would have a hard cap. And so I don't think that's an issue for some teams. Obviously, if you try to trade him to the Warriors, that's not going to happen. If you try to trade him to the Jazz, I'd have to look at the math. I think it's maybe possible because they dump favors. And if they're letting Conley go, like we could, you know, but like you go team by team. But if you're talking about like the Knicks or the Bulls or the Raptors or whatever, now you're talking about teams that don't have big payrolls that can probably trigger hard cap without it being restrictive to them. But the problem is, and this is what the most important thing to understand for anybody who's a Laker fan who is saying Rob would mess up royally if he lets Dennis go sign with another team.
Sure.
I hear that all the time.
Right. I do too. Right.
It's not up to Rob. It's not up to anybody on the Lakers what Dennis Schroeder does. He's an unrestricted free agent. Talen Horton-Tucker is a restricted free agent. If the Lakers let him go, you can sit here and say Lakers screwed that up because they had the control. They would have to allow him to leave. He can't leave without the Lakers saying, we're not going to match an offer. Go ahead and leave. In the case of Dennis, all he has to do is say, oh, the Knicks want me. The Knicks want to pay me 30, 20, whatever. Take my money. Done. Bye, Lakers. I'm out.
Right.
Lakers didn't screw up there. Free agents leave all the time. If you want to say that every free agent who leaves a team should sign and trade out, and any team that loses that free agent is an idiot, it's nonsense. You have like dozens and dozens and dozens of free agents who leave. And I mean, really, it's really hundreds. I mean, I don't know the exact number each year, but let's say it's 120. I don't know. I didn't count how many free agents.
Sure.
Let's say it's 200. I don't know the exact number. 10 of them, maybe 5 of them will be sign and trades. It's just not how the industry works. And the ones who are most likely to sign and trade are restricted free agents because they can't just go to their next destination. They're required to either sign an offer sheet and have that team match their original team, or work a sign and trade out where, let's say, Lonzo Ball wants to go to the Raptors and the Raptors want to get Kyle Lowry. You could do a dual sign and trade, whereas Lonzo can't just go sign with the Raptors. He has to sign an offer sheet with the Raptors, and right, then the Pelicans can match. And so if they were to do so, which I don't think they would, doesn't matter what they would or wouldn't do. It's still a process. So the basic point is that Schroeder owes the Lakers nothing just because it's a business, and he'll go do what's right for him. Now, in my article, I wrote on Bleacher Report that he might get squeezed by the market. It's possible. Right. And if there are no destinations that can pay him, because there's only 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams, depending on circumstances, who has cap room. And I still have to recrunch some of that after the draft and some of the trades that are actually happening today on Saturday, right? So there are trades still going on. So I still need to reshuffle. And like the Magic signed, or rather drafted, Jalen Suggs. So that's something that was a variable, where if the Raptors had gotten Suggs, then they probably didn't need a point guard because they have Suggs, Fred VanVleet, and Malachi Flynn. But now they went with a different player. What was it? Scotty Barnes, I believe. So right, now they have, in theory, maybe an opening at the point, or maybe they want to use their resources to get a center. Like they used to play Fred VanVleet and Lowry as their primary guards with Flynn as a backup and Trent as a backup. I expect them to bring back Gary Trent Jr. They still have Flynn. They still have Fred VanVleet. Are they going to say, okay, Fred's now the full-time point guard, Trent's the starter at the 2, OG at 3, Siakam at 4, go buy, put money into a center, Flynn's the primary backup off the bench, we'll work in the new kid we just drafted as the wing off the bench, you know, the power, he's kind of a multi-positional player, 2, 3, 4, whatever, probably a 3 or 4. And so maybe that money goes towards the center, or maybe they like what they've done the last, you know, they won a championship recently. Maybe they want to invest in a Dennis Schroeder and keep Flynn off the bench, keep Trent off the bench. And now you've got 4 guards there. So your guard play is set, and you've got OG and Siakam. Now you need to figure out how to get to a center. But in a lot of teams view center as the least important position currently, obviously not the Sixers, obviously not the Nuggets, but certainly the Rockets have, and a lot of teams in that mindset. So from where do we go from here with Dennis? Toronto, New York has the money to outright pay him. The Bulls are looking at Lonzo. I think Lonzo wants the Bulls. I think that happens. But Dennis played for Billy Donovan, and Chicago is a very viable possibility there too. The Bulls are in a position where they need to decide what their future is with Zach LaVine. They can renegotiate his contract if they have cap room up and give him an extension now, as opposed to letting him hit unrestricted free agency after the summer. Zach LaVine never chose the Bulls. He was drafted by the Wolves. He was traded to the Bulls. He signed an offer sheet with the Kings. The Bulls matched, and now he'll be a free agent for the first time. He never picked Chicago, has had a good career in Chicago, and would like to stay there if they want him, but only if, A, they're going to pay him. And if they don't pay him now, then he's going to look and see what's out there. And true, he's not true, beholden to them. So there's a lot of reason for the Bulls to not only get under the cap, but to make deals that allow them to get either Schroeder or Lonzo.
Sure.
And have the cap room about anywhere between 11 to 14 million to renegotiate Zach up either to the max or close enough to the max that he can get the kind of money he wants. He may or may not go all the way to the max, but he also, why would he do that if like they prune the team down to nothing and he's getting paid money, but he's going to be in a bad team. He's always been on a bad team his whole career, so he would like to be on a good team. And so guys like Tomas Satoransky, maybe Thaddeus Young, Al-Farouq Aminu are all available in some context or another. The Bulls would like to keep Thaddeus Young and might be able to if they can get out of Satoransky, who's a very solid point guard, good contract, only $10 million. And Aminu is relatively cheap. I don't trust his legs. I think at this point his – his body, he actually would fit the Lakers perfectly if it was the Alfredo Camino of 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
But he's 10 million. But if you're Lakers and you That's take true. On 20 million in Satoransky and Aminu back
for Dennis,
you've added two good role players, but maybe more importantly, you now have contracts that you can later trade closer to the deadline, because it, as we talked about, Lakers are going to have three contracts in their stars. They're going to have right. one at 5'9". They're going to have a bunch of mins, and then whatever they pay to Caruso if they keep him, Talen Horton-Tucker if they keep him, Wes Matthews if they keep him. The rest are probably mins or close to it. So if they wanted to make a midseason trade, you have to have salary to match. And so getting players like that may not like tip the needle and say, oh, my goodness, you've got like some incredible piece. But it's something, and it's something right. that you can repackage. So there are pathways by which Dennis picks the Bulls, maybe picks the Raptors. You can get probably from the Raptors in a sign and trade. They don't have to go under the cap, and you could in theory get Rodney Hood, who's not very good anymore, unfortunately, because of injury,
right.
and Aaron Baines. I don't think you can get Chris Boucher, but if you could somehow turn Dennis Schroeder into Hood, Baines, and Boucher, that would be a huge win.
That would be nice.
For the Lakers. I don't think that's reasonable.
No, not for the Raptors.
But but I do think Hood, Baines, and one other piece, maybe. They don't really have a lot to offer there. But in theory, you know, Watanabe's a nice prospect. Bembry's a solid, you know, like we're not talking about great. But again, gives you contracts by which later you can make deals. The Knicks are interesting because they could pay him outright. But if you're the Lakers, you would probably say to the Knicks, we'll send you $1.5 million and a second round pick if you do a sign and trade. And then the Lakers could have a trade exception, which would be in the neighborhood of 16 to 19 and a half million. Call it 19. Let's call it 16 million. You can look on my Twitter timeline for explanation there.
Right, I've been following that.
A $16 million trade exception would be valuable at the trade deadline or at any point, and the Lakers could find a way to add a piece or two. They probably have to include some picks, something to get value. Like, people aren't just going to say, here, take my player. But there are possibilities there. So I do think a Dennis sign and trade right now is not negotiated. It's not worked out. I don't think Dennis knows where he's going yet. I do think a lot of teams have already negotiated with players, and I think Dennis probably has an idea of the two or three teams that are going to work out for him, but I don't think he knows which one will work out for him. And until he knows that, he doesn't know if he needs the Lakers. And then if he makes a deal with a team, that Rob should call up whatever team that is and see if there's some flexibility there, even if it's just a trade exception. But it's not up to Rob. It's ultimately up to Dennis to make that decision. But, you know, the Kings and Buddy, which is kind of where we started with this, they don't need Dennis at all. They have De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton. Mm-hmm. The Wizards don't want to sign Dennis. Now, people have said to me, why? He's good. It's not up to me to judge whether he's good or bad. It's just reporting the intel that I have that they're not interested.
Sure.
Whereas they are interested in Dinwiddie. So now you can get crazy and say, okay, fine. Dinwiddie is signed and trade to the Wizards. Are they expanding the trade so that Kuzma and Trez are going to the Nets? But now you look at the Nets payroll, and are they willing to add $23 million to a team that's already massively in the tax? Maybe not. And so what would they want back for Dinwiddie? And is it just one of those two players? They want to dump DeAndre Jordan, reportedly. So are they? Do they have a move where they move DeAndre out and bring Trez in? And then, the Kings went and traded for Tristan Thompson. So they pretty much addressed their need. And the market for Rashawn Holmes looked like it was going to be Charlotte or maybe Dallas. But at this point, it doesn't look like Charlotte. Charlotte traded for Mason Plumlee. So maybe they also do Holmes. But I have to look at their money now. So maybe Rashawn Holmes, who was someone who did not, he wanted to stay in Sacramento, but he didn't want to stay for the money they could offer. He's an early bird thing too, so it's 10.3. He was expecting 18, 16, 15, 19. And if he's not going to, if he's not going to get that, then he'll stay. So
it's true.
So if he's going to stay and they have Rashawn Holmes and Tristan Thompson, they don't need Trez anymore. No. They don't need DeAndre Jordan. would they want Kyle Kuzma? I mean, they were getting Trez and Kyle Kuzma now, and maybe 22. I don't know if 22 was in that or not, but is there a way to reroute Kuzma and some other piece to get Buddy Hield? And then the final question is, we talked about the Lakers tax. Are they really willing to bring on Buddy, a $20 million player, and also keep THT? You would at that point assume that if you're paying, that you're not bringing back Caruso, certainly. If you're paying Westbrook, you're paying THT, you're paying Buddy Hield, three guards, and that's right. A lot of money because you're paying 60-something million for Buddy and Hield, and let's say THT is eight. Now, let's call it 70 million, right, for three players, and then you have LeBron and AD. You're talking about so much money. Do we even know that the Lakers have any interest at this point in Buddy Hield, given the salary ramifications? And there's one more wrinkle, is that Buddy actually has incentives in his contract that climb if his team A makes the playoffs. So his number actually goes up a little bit if he's traded to the Lakers. And then B, he gets extra money if his team goes to the second round, the conference finals, and then the NBA finals. And so let's say the Lakers actually do this year accomplish those things. He would get an extra like almost $1 million. Yeah. Like if they go all the way, he gets almost $1.3 million, of which that money would, I'd have to think, I don't know if it's taxed. I'd have to double check if that's taxed, how they, when, cause they compute the tax based on the end day of the season. So it may not be taxed, but I'd have to look into that. So you're talking about, you know, real money. So I'm not sure they want Buddy Hield. Not, I mean, he's a great fit and he would solve a lot of problems because they have no shooting. And now your starter is Buddy. You've got a great shooter. And then you just, if you can add an athlete at center who has some range, or play the AD at center some and have a power forward / wing, if you can get Otto Porter for the 5'9",
that'd be nice.
And start like Russell Westbrook, Buddy Hield, LeBron James, Otto Porter, and Anthony Davis. I mean, that's a heck of a team. I mean, defensively, it's not what it was in previous years, but offensively, good luck with that. So, and I'm not, you know, you, and the bench would be THT and maybe Marc Gasol. So it's not like, you know, they need to, but you, maybe you bring back Wes, you go after minimum guys, try to bring in JJ Redick off the bench as another shooter, maybe.
Right, you mentioned him, right, on your article. You mentioned a few other veteran minimums, there's guys that you can get, right? Yeah. Shooters, right? Because that's what we want to address after.
Exactly. So that's, to me, how I see things. I don't know how it's going to go. What's exciting is I've had these same questions dating back to the trade deadline. That's when I, after the trade deadline of this season, I started mapping out everything for the offseason, how I saw it going, and things adjusted. Like, okay, the Suns were a lot better than expected, so maybe there's more of a momentum for Chris Paul to stay, whereas I originally had him going to New York. Now I have him staying with Phoenix. But what's exciting is in the next few days, really, we'll have a lot of answers. We won't have all the answers. We'll have most of the answers on what's going to happen. And then it's just a matter of filling out the rest with the right minimum players.
Right. I'm excited for it. Obviously, right, August 2nd is when Monday they'll start negotiating. I'm sure like teams have already been negotiating with these free agents, obviously. But that's when people agreements can be made, right? Can't be finalized until the 6th is what I understand, but agreements can be made. And it just sounds like that going back to the Buddy Hield Schroeder four team, it just sounds like it's too complicated at this point to that it would actually happen, right?
I mean, look, if I was running the show and I had an opportunity and I was one of the strategists involved, I would try to make things happen. And I don't think in the offseason, like if you have a two team trade already established between the Lakers and the Wizards, it's not hard to say, okay, a third team is involved. In fact, I already think a third team is involved. I think the Pacers are involved because they're getting the Lakers pick.
They are
the 22. Mm-hmm. So I already think it's a three team trade. So that's if true. If you then want to add, you know, Dinwiddie sign and trade in that and bring the Nets into it, it's not outrageously hard. And the advantage of doing those kind of trades is that when you have big trades and a lot of money moving places, it's a lot easier to match salaries because there's so much money involved that it's just, it's very easy. Whereas like if you have a two-team trade and the numbers don't work, you're kind of stuck and you might not be able to make the math work in a two-team trade. Like the Lakers can't do Westbrook without Trez opting in. And if he didn't opt in, then they would have to rely on a sign-in trade and maybe the Wizards wouldn't want those players. And so it maybe it doesn't work. So the Buddy Hield thing was technically contingent on Trez opting in. They could have done Kuzma and KCP to Sacramento instead of Trez. But again, there are complications in a two-team trade. And when it expands, once you have a deal set, it's not unlikely for it to expand. And you do have multiple team trades in the offseason, especially, but like Harden to the Nets was a four-team trade.
Right.
In season, which is really hard. It's harder in season to get that done. Off season, it's a lot easier because you roster limits are at 20 instead of 15, not including two ways in season. Off season, the 20 does include your two ways, but the Lakers and other teams probably haven't signed their two ways yet and can agree to two ways, but don't sign them until later when they need them. So there's a lot that's going to happen in the next few days. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot to process, but we'll know what's going to happen really by this time next week. Players will pretty much have, some of them will have already signed their new deals. So
sure.
And a lot of trades will have already gone down by this point. So we're right on the precipice of all this happening.
Well, I'm excited too. I'm excited to see what unfolds, right? Eric, appreciate you hopping on the show today. I don't know if you have any final thoughts before we end the pod here.
I'll be teaching in Las Vegas at Summer League with the Sports Business Classroom. That's happening very soon. I'm leaving on August 6th, so I've got about a week. Actually, the first day of signings, so I'm going to be driving to Vegas. I've got to probably have to stop my car every 15 minutes to check my phone. Today, Saturday, if you are hearing this today, is the deadline to sign up. So that's an in-person class where if you're looking to make the transition into the NBA industry, the basketball industry, be it as a coach, as a salary cap strategist, as a basketball operations staffer, as scouting analytics, broadcast, media, all that stuff. It's the best place to be to really learn and to get your career kickstarted. So you could also follow me on Twitter at Eric Pincus, and I publish articles on Bleacher Report and player salaries on Basketball Insiders and every so often on YouTube, although my schedule's been so busy that I haven't had a chance to do much on YouTube, unfortunately. So just trying to keep all this stuff flowing. There's so much information.
Yeah.
It's been a fun time. I appreciate you having me on, and I like talking these things through. It helps me clarify my thoughts a little bit. So we'll see how right I am or how different things end up being. I think it's reasonable that the Lakers do sign and trade Dennis Schroeder. It's unreasonable to expect that they already have a sign and trade worked out. But I do think it's reasonable that he picks a team and a sign and trade happens. I just don't think it's likely. I don't think any time like that, none of that stuff is ever likely, but it's possible. And it's really going to depend on what Dennis wants and if a team is willing to pay him. So we'll see.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll find out here pretty soon. Right.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys, that's it for today. Eric, again, thank you for joining the pod. Guys, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other listening platforms. Do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. We do appreciate the follows and all the reviews. It'll help us continue to produce this show. You can also follow us on Twitter at #LakerPod and on Instagram at #Lakers. Again, this pod was presented by the Believe Podcast Network and brought to you by betonline.ag. Guys, with that said, have a great day. Root for the Lakers, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.